Today we are starting a brand new series, but allow me to just introduce my family. All right, so that is my family, my wife and I. In fact, this coming week, we are celebrating our 15th year anniversary. All right, so I'm really thankful for my wife. If you are watching, you have been amazing. Okay, trying to score brownie points here, okay? And my wife is the reason why I can do what I do, and she really works behind the scene to hold everything together, okay? So 15 years of marriage, first 5 years has been good. The next 10 years has been even better. My eldest daughter, Kristen, she's 14, she's turning teens, and I really enjoy the relationship that I have with her, and she has been following me to the different church activities and all that, and she has been really take interest in the things that we do in the church, and I really enjoy that conversation that I have with her. Shane, my son, 12 years old, he has three things on his mind: football, football, and football. That's my son. My second daughter, Faith, she is very expressive, very extrovert, a very different personality from my wife and I, so that's Faith. And my youngest, Joash, he's 5. He's just a friendly, happy, happy-going guy. Okay, so that's my family. For those of you who do not know, I have been with Every Nation for more than 22 years. I got saved in this house as a student, grew up together, and I'm really honored and I am thankful to be part of this movement that God is using in our midst. So even as we start the series, Apostle Creed, I want to start by saying, what we believe will drive what we behave. What we believe will drive what we behave. I remember when I was young, I don't know, maybe 5, 6 years old, and my mom and my auntie will tell me, as I was eating my rice at home, and they will tell me, if I don't finish the rice on the plate, when I grow up, he says, my face will have pimples and my face will have holes as if, like the rice on the plate. How many of you guys have heard that before? Okay, some of you, not just me, right? So guess what? I believe it. And because I believe it, I will finish the rice on the plate. What we believe drives how we behave. Another one is that, you know, when we were young, we will be eating that watermelon. And watermelon, you have seeds, right? And they will tell you that if you swallow the seeds of the watermelon, what will happen? A watermelon plant will grow in your stomach and out of your ears, okay? So as young as I was, I believed that. And because of that, I will be diligently picking up the watermelon seeds from the watermelon so that I do not have watermelon growing inside my stomach. What we believe drives how we behave. And I'm sure today, as we grow up, as we, you know, as we go through life, we will have different belief systems that we may consciously or unconsciously know, and that drives our behavior. So today, even as we start this Apostle Creed series, it's very important for us to know what we believe as Christian faith, as the foundation of Christian. If you are new here, you are new in your journey of Christ, this is a perfect series for you because you get to discover the foundation of our Christian faith. For some of you, maybe you are just kind of making your way back to church after MCO. You've been missing for a while and you're kind of reconnecting back to God. We welcome you. And this is a great series as well to rediscover the basics and the foundation of Christian faith. And some of us, maybe you have been here, you have been a Christian a long time. And sometimes as we become a Christian a long time, it gets complicated, right? With the different programs, with the different things that we have been through. And this series is kind of bring us back to the basic, to the very foundation of our Christian faith. So that is so important for us to believe right so that we can live right. Essentially, creed just means belief, doctrines, dogma. And this Apostle Creed, it is not written by the apostles, but it is a summary of the different apostles' teaching based on scripture. What happened was, as Jesus resurrected and ascended to heaven, you have the early apostles, and one by one, they are martyred, they died. And 150 years later, the early church began to realize that, hey, we need to document these down. We need to document the teachings of the apostle, which is based on scripture, down so that we have a standard declaration. We have a standard beliefs. So it was written about 200 to 300 AD, and it is the oldest, the most credible, the most universally accepted creed. whichever branch of Christianity, whether it's Roman Catholic, whether it's you go to Europe, you have the Eastern Orthodox, you have the Greek Orthodox, whether you are Presbyterian, Methodist, we may have a little bit of difference here and there, but when it comes to Apostle Creed, it is the oldest, most credible, and most universally accepted creed. As we move on, the importance of creed is that it helps us define what we believe. It helps us define what is in and what is out, what we believe and what we do not believe. That's very important. It helps us defend the faith as well. During that time when they were kind of formalizing the Apostle Creed, there were a lot of false teaching that come about. One of which that talks about how God is God and God has no capacity to become flesh and blood like human. And another teaching that talks about how Jesus is just merely human like any one of us and he became God and we can become God as well. And that's another teaching that is seeping in. So this Apostle Creed helped them to kind of defend their faith and to kind of just sift out false teaching. And finally, it is something that we can declare, we can speak and say, this is what we believe. In the early church, they will recite this Apostle Creed before their baptism. It is a form of declaration. And you're talking about Christians who declare this creed in the midst of persecution, in the midst of Christian being minority, being pressured, being marginalized. And they will declare this before God and before people, before their baptism. It is powerful. It is sacred in that sense. Okay, so as I move on, I'm going to read the Apostle Creed. And this is a summary. And today, you know, if someone were to ask you, what is the summary of the Christian faith? We don't tell the guy, go read the Bible yourself. We will kind of give that 3-minute summary. Well, guess what? Good news is somebody has summarized it for us through the Apostle Creed. I'm going to read, and you can read along with me if you want to. I'm going to read it slow so that we can then digest the Apostle Creed, which is based on scriptures. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. The word Catholic here means universal, okay? The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That is the Apostle Creed. And for the next 5-6 weeks, we will be talking line by line. We will be just kind of breaking down this Apostle Creed into the different sections so that we can then define, defend, and declare our faith. So today, we're going to start with line one, which is God, the Father, Almighty, and Creator. Okay, so let me pray for us. God, we thank you today that even as we hear the word, you will speak to us. You will strengthen our foundation. You will refresh our belief. And you will cause us to have a stronger, a resolute in what we profess. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone say, amen. All right. First line, it says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I like how it starts. It says, I believe in God. It's a personal declaration. You know, it is not a declaration of our parents. It is not a declaration of our spouse or of our friends. So sitting here, there come a point in time whereby it is personal. You know, whether you are a campus student, you are teens, you are working adults, it comes a time whereby it is a personal belief. It says that I believe in God. So the question is, do you believe? Some of us say yes, but do you know what you believe? Do you know what you believe? I want to start this by sharing a scripture in Acts 17. And this is Apostle Paul. He went to Athens and he was about to preach and he was walking the streets of Athens and his heart was troubled. His heart was bothered by all the temples and all the idols that he was seeing. And in the ancient Greece, there were all these Greek gods. The god of Zeus, the god of Poseidon, Apollo, Hermes. Okay, in those days, Hermes was a Greek god. Today is a handbag. So Paul was walking the streets of Athens and he was bothered by it and he saw an altar. Okay, some of you know this story. He saw an altar whereby it says, to an unknown God. That they were so religious and they were so spiritual that they don't want to miss out any gods. And I was having this conversation with a couple. They're not a Christian. I hosted them for dinner maybe 2 weeks back at my house and we were just chatting. The kids was playing and I was just asking them. And they said that, well, we believe in God. We just don't know who this God is and we're not sure whether it is this Jesus, but we do believe that there is a God. So Paul was saying that to an unknown God and he uses that inscription on the altar and tell the crowd, it says, what is unknown today I'm going to make known to you. And he went on to describe this God in Acts 17, verse 24. Paul says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by men. He was referring to all the temples that was around that city. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Of course, we have Genesis chapter 1, that our Christian faith speaks about creation. Our Christian faith answers the big question of the origin. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, God is not confined to time. God is already present in the beginning. And God created, you know, the word here created is not like how we create. Okay, we can create something out of something, right? We create structures out of raw materials. My kids create some sculptures out of Play-Doh. We create something out of something. But here, the Latin word was used to describe this is called ex nihilo, which means that he created something out of nothing. Can you imagine? Creating something out of nothing. Only God can do that, right? There was a story that talks about scientists was arguing with God. A scientist says that, hey, I can create something as well. God says, no, I am the one that created the heaven and the earth. Then the scientist says, no, I can prove to you that the creation comes up by itself. And God says, okay, prove to me. And the scientist says, I'm going to make you some sculptures out of this dirt. And God says, no, you go find your own dirt. God created something out of nothing. The Bible says that God spoke and the universe came to existence. He created the heavens and the earth. And sometimes we do not know what that means because we are so busy with life. We are so busy with our own business, our own family, that we don't even stop to think the bigness and the vastness of what it means when God created the heavens. You know, we stay in this beautiful planet Earth, and potentially the closest universal host that is to Earth is our moon, right? And we always look at the moon and we think that, oh, it's near. But it's not that near. Okay, I found this picture which I thought was interesting. And this picture shows the distance between, on one hand, you have planet Earth, and on the other hand, you have the moon. Actually, it can fit all the planet in our solar system in the distance between Earth and moon. Yeah, suddenly, it's not so near after all, right? We can fit Jupiter, we can fit Saturn, we can fit Mercury and Venus and all this stuff. And we begin to realize that, wow, you know, it's not so near after all. This is another picture, comparison of Jupiter and the planet Earth. And Jupiter is the largest planet, and you can see Earth, it's a tiny little ball down there compared to Jupiter. You know, I always think that I'm a big shot. You know, sometimes in life, you know, we have a little bit of success and we think highly of ourselves. And myself, I'm guilty of that as well. I'm thinking, hey, I'm a big shot. But when we look at this, it says, hey, maybe I'm not such a big shot after all. Okay, this picture puts us into perspective. What about the sun? A star, that the source of energy for our solar system. This picture shows the size of the sun compares to Jupiter and compares to Earth. Okay, remember, this is all in the universe that God created with just one word. Wow, the sun. Earth is just a dot. Earth is just a speck in this diagram, and suddenly I realize that, hey, I'm not so big after all. What about if we go beyond this solar system? This is the sun compared to Arcturus. Okay, Earth is invisible in this scale, and Jupiter is just one pixel. Jupiter is just a speck. Earth don't even exist in this picture. It's too small. So when God created the heavens and the earth, it's like, wow. He spoke and He created something out of nothing. And the Bible says in Psalms 147, He says He determines the number of stars and He calls them by name. The billions and billions of stars out there, and God calls them by name. Can you imagine that? If He can remember the billions of stars by name, don't you think that He knows your name? Don't you think that He cares and knows what's going on in your life? And the psalmist was saying that, or rather Jeremiah says, God told him, before you were in your mother's womb, I already knew you. Right? I've already set you apart. I've appointed you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I've already knew you. You see, the beautiful thing about knowing, believing that God is our creator, it brings meaning and purpose to life. That we are not just some random accident that came about and through millions of years of evolution and suddenly we are where we are. If that's true, then life is without purpose. Life is random. Life is without meaning. It's just about survival of the fittest. But God created us. We are beautifully and wonderfully made. And at the climax of it, God put His image when He created us in His image. And that's why we're different from the plant and the animals, because we have God's image. We have the capacity to love. We have the capacity to be loved. We have the capacity to know right and wrong and injustice and whatnot. Yes, sin corrupted that perfection. But we are made in God's image. And because we believe that God is our creator, we have meaning and we have purpose in life. That's amazing. Psalms 33, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their hosts. That's amazing. And I thought about the solar system, the planets moving in orbits. It doesn't collide to one another, right? Can you imagine that? God just runs that universe without planets colliding to one another. God just runs this Earth with this ecosystem about us releasing carbon dioxide and the plants will take in carbon dioxide and releasing oxygen and all that not. If God can run the universe, don't you think we can trust Him to run our lives? Don't you think that we can, you know, our lives, as small as it is, it's precious to God. And we messed up running our lives a lot of times. I messed up running our lives a lot of times. But God, the creator of the universe who holds everything together, don't you think you can trust Him to lead and to run your life? If He is the creator of our lives, there is meaning and there is purpose. Let's move on. The second thing is Almighty. God Almighty, and the word Almighty here is all-powerful, omnipotent. He says, being Lord of heavens and earth, He does not live in temples made by man, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything. Almighty. It means that He cannot be stopped from accomplishing His purpose. Almighty means that in His goodness, in His greatness, He do whatever He pleases. He do whatever He wants. And I love this verse, Jeremiah. He says, Ah, Sovereign Lord. This word, Ah, Sovereign, Ah is a declaration. It's not a surprise, huh? Okay? It is not a discovery. Ah, it's not. It's Ah, Sovereign Lord, a declaration. He says, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arms. Listen to this. He says, Nothing is too hard for You. Nothing is too hard for You. Maybe some of us, this is the verse that we need to take home. Are you going through something in your life that is too hard, that's seemingly hopeless and impossible? Well, this verse says, because God is Almighty, nothing is too hard for Him. Some of you may be going through certain issues in your marriage, in your kids. You know, there's one particular child that is you are at your end's wits. You don't know what to do. Guess what? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. If you are in this business negotiation and you're kind of stuck, and it's kind of like have these financial consequences that you can't even imagine to think of, guess what? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And some of us here, we hear news of just different people getting positive COVID and having different medical condition. Guess what? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. I want to encourage you, even as you do that, hold on to that verse. See, God is good, not because we are good. God is good because God is good. You see, God is great, not because we can do anything good. God is great because He is great. Sometimes we limit God based on our past experience. Say, oh, I prayed many years and it didn't happen. Or maybe based on our past negative experience of certain things of church or God's people. But don't limit God based on our own experience. And don't limit God based on our own merits. Say, oh, I don't really go church that faithful as compared to this guy. And I didn't really, you know, serve and whatnot. Don't limit God based on our own merits. He is great and He is good because not because we are good, but because He is good. Ephesians 3:20, he says, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think of. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Thirdly, He is our Father. Acts 17:28, as Paul finishes his speech, he says, we are His offspring. And John said this, he says, to all who did receive, just like a lot of us here, we did receive, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. That it is mind-blowing that the Creator of the universe, the Creator of heavens and earth, wants to have a personal relationship with us. Wow. David was saying, who am I that You are mindful of me? And David says, I cannot count Your thoughts that You have for me. It's more than the sand on the beach. God wants to relate to us. We always say, right, Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. It is a personal relationship with God. Today, some of us needs to encounter that. Yes, we may know this faith by head knowledge. But God wants to bring you into an intimate, personal relationship. I want to end by sharing this story. There is a student that comes to our church maybe about 10, 11 years ago. And he is from a, in a sense, challenging family background. His mom passed away when he was 10, 11 years old, and his dad went into depression. His dad resorted to a lot of drinking after that, and he was being brought up by his grandmother, and his dad was seldom around. Challenging background. As he grows, he comes to our church when he was a university student. Happy-go-lucky on the outside, and he will hang out with friends and sometimes skip class. You go for drinks at night. He will come to church on and off. But after 6 months, 9 months of coming and attending our campus, attending our service, he began to journey his relationship with God. He began to taste and encounter this Heavenly Father, this God Almighty. And he went for our weekend, our victory weekend, because he felt that he was ready to encounter God in a deeper manner. And through that weekend, the love of our Almighty Heavenly Father encountered him. And in his session, and he shared this, he says, I've never shared this with anyone before. And he says, actually, my mom did not die. At the age of 10, 11 years old, my mom actually left us and started another relationship and started another family and just left us. And I was 10, I was 11, I was confused, I was angry, I was bitter. And my grandmother, my mom, my auntie, everybody tells me, just assume that your mom is dead. Just tell everyone that your mom is dead. Can you imagine? Age 10, 11 years old, being told that. And as he goes through schools, in the high schools, and he tells people that my mom's dead, my mom passed away. And he carries that scar, he's carried that wound, he carried that bitterness and anger against God, against life, against just the world. And he says that, but I encounter the love of my Heavenly Father. In this church and in this retreat, in this Victory Weekend, I encounter the love of God. And I feel the love of God has reached out deep into my heart and healed me, restored me, gave me life, gave me purpose. And he came out of that weekend and he tells us. His friends were so shocked, but he tells us his testimony. You could see the changes, the different countenance in his face. There was joy. There was freedom. And he said, Pastor, if I were to meet my mother again, I would tell her I love her. I would tell her I forgive her. And I would tell her that God loves her. I thought about the amazing, loving, almighty Father God that we have. Wow. He is not just the creator of the heavens and earth, but He is also our Heavenly Father who wants to have a relationship with you, who is interested to be involved in your life. That is the kind of God that we believe in. Would you stand? I'm going to pray for all of us. Thank you, Lord. And I believe that God is here. And I want us to just close our eyes, just to allow God to speak to some of us, many of us. Some of you need God the Creator to bring meaning and purpose. Maybe you're in a stage of season of life that you are just kind of directionless. You know, maybe you are in between jobs and you didn't know what to do and you're kind of exploring, don't know where to go, and you need God the Creator because He has created and designed you. He has purpose and a meaning for you. Some of you need God Almighty because you are facing and going through something that is too hard for you. That seem hopeless, seem impossible, but guess what? Nothing is too hard for our Lord. If that's you, wherever you are, just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. If you have one thing that is seemingly too hard, thank you for those hands. Just raise it up high. Just as a sign of saying that, God, it is too hard for me, but I am believing that nothing is too hard for you because you are God Almighty, Lord. God, you see these hands, Lord. Some of us needs to be reconnected back to our Heavenly Father. You have been away too long. You have been living your Christian faith based on just knowledge and you desire the encounter with God. If that's you, just raise your hands. You say, Lord, I'm coming back. I've been away long. I've been away since all this MCO. Lord, I'm wanting to reconnect, not just reconnect to church, but reconnect to you, Lord. Father, I thank you today. God, like even as we explore the Apostle Creed, but it is not just that creed, but it is You who is behind that. God, today some of us need to experience life, purpose, meaning, Lord. You give us that, Lord. That there is this meaning, hope to live. Because you have called us, you have created us, you have put us here for a time like this, Lord. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. So if going through situation that is seemingly too hard, Lord, we want to declare that you are God Almighty. That nothing is too hard for you, Lord. Whether it's that relationship, whether it's that children, whether it's that business deal, whether it's that direction, whether it's that health condition, that medical report, that marriage, nothing is too hard for the Lord. We declare that we believe that, Lord. Father, we thank you, O Lord, that you are not a God that who is distant. You are not a God who is not interested in our lives. But we thank you that you are a God who wants to be involved in our lives. That you know the number of hairs on our head. You know us by name, Lord, even before we were born. And because of that, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. God, because of that, we can stand here. We can worship you. And we don't have to just come church on Sunday or tune in on Sunday just to attend church. But we can encounter you, oh Lord. God, we thank you, Lord. God, we here declare that we believe in you, the creator of heaven and earth, almighty Lord, heavenly Father. We thank you in Jesus' mighty, mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. We got a clap offering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord.